Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Chris Grant, joined by Jerry Ratcliffe here on The Jerry Ratcliffe Show, and we're going to talk Virginia basketball with the Hoos getting ready. We're taping this on Tuesday, getting ready on Wednesday, a day from now, to host Mississippi State in the first round of the 2022 NIT, National Invitational Tournament, first time for Virginia in that tournament since 2013. And Jerry, they're still playing basketball. Tony talked about this yesterday. They're still playing. It's still games to play, and they still want to go out, and they want to do well. They're not just out there to play. They're out there to win it.
Yeah, Tony said that anytime you're playing in a tournament, getting guys experience with most of his team coming back, that it's a good thing. It'll be, even though it's not the NCAA, it's still a tournament atmosphere. And I think it'll probably be a good crowd at JPJ tomorrow night. If it's anything like in the past where, it's open seating, I think, not first come, first serve per se, but I think you can buy tickets online, and I think you can buy seats pretty much wherever you want. So it's also a chance, I think, for some Virginia fans that haven't had a lot of opportunities to see the team play. They can go to the game. So it should be a good atmosphere, I think. And Mississippi State is certainly a pretty good basketball team. They finished 18-15, I think, in a really tough conference. Most people figure the SEC is the best conference in the country this year. So we'll see.
Yeah, Mississippi State finished 8-10 in the SEC. The one drawback for them, only one road win this year. they would be hosting. They were the number 3 seed, Virginia not seeded in this somehow. But renovations to the Mississippi State Arena, the Humphrey Center, I believe it's called, they want to have that open in time for next fall. So as a result, they had scheduled the renovations to start right after the season, and that's why they can't host. I think you said, Jerry, about the environment should be good. You know, my wife went online. She's a season ticket holder, sits in the upper deck, about halfway up the upper deck. She went online, and early on, I think maybe the deadline sometime today, it may have already passed as we're recording this, but on Sunday and Monday, only donors could have access to those lower level seats, and then they'd open it up to everybody. But she's a donor that doesn't get lower level access. So for $14 a piece, she was able to get 2 tickets sitting lower level. And so you'll have a lot of folks doing that. Those upper deck seats are $12. And it's postseason basketball, so I would expect the same. I would expect a good environment, a good crowd, and like you said, a lot of folks who don't get to see Virginia on a regular basis because of, you know, donating and those things with season tickets, a lot of folks will be able to go and see a, you know, good college basketball game.
Yeah, and Ben Howland, the Mississippi State coach, who his job is still in question, apparently, as to whether they'll bring him back for an 8th season, said today. We talked to him via Zoom, and he said that he thought they got the roughest draw in the tournament, having to go on the road as a 3 seed and having to play Virginia. He said he and Tony Bennett go way back to the Pac-10 days. Ben Howland took over the UCLA program the same year that Dick Bennett took over the Washington State program. And then he played against Tony's father, and then Tony took Dick's place. And I think Howland said that the only 2 times UCLA ever lost at home to Washington State in the history of the series were against Dick and Tony Bennett. So he knows. He compared playing their pack line system and their deliberate offensive pace as to having a root canal. So he's very familiar with what Virginia basketball is about. And, he and Tony have ultimate respect for each other. So that should be a good matchup. He's been a pretty good coach. He was a head coach at Pitt and took over the UCLA program and, at Mississippi State for a while now. And I think he's kind of like Tony in that they expected to have one of their guys back this season, one of their better offensive players who turned pro and ended up being in, wasn't drafted and played in the G League. Much like Virginia missed Trey Murphy, who did make it to the NBA and had a season high the other night, I think, in a game. I think the fact that Mississippi State is, like you said, is 1-9 on the road, I believe, that should weigh heavily in Virginia's favor, even though the last odds I saw, the Cavaliers were a 1.5-point favorite.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boast one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
You know, I was reading some of the papers that cover Mississippi State regularly, the guys down in the Starkville area and Mississippi in general. And folks there, the writers there, don't expect Hallon to be back. 7 seasons in, he's only been to 1 NCAA tournament. I think this is his 3rd NIT. The SEC is tough. I mean, just like the ACC, you know, you're competing night in and night out against some elite programs. And as you said, this year's team had a lot higher expectations. They had some transfers that came in. Garrison Brooks from North Carolina. A lot of Virginia fans will remember that name. He scored some points on Virginia over the years at North Carolina for teams that didn't beat Virginia over that period of time. But Garrison Brooks, a big guy, 6'9", power forward that scores in double digits for them per game down at Mississippi State. They underperformed according to expectations, at least expectations of the fan base. It's never a good sign. It was announced before the SEC tournament by the school's athletics director that Hallon would coach the team no matter what his job status was in the postseason. No matter what his job status is not a good sign. That's a sign that they're probably thinking in another direction. But so you have to wonder too, then, and not his, because he's a coach and he's going to coach his team. He's, like, as you mentioned, Pitt and UCLA, he went to a Final Four. I mean, he's got pedigree. He knows how to coach a team, but his guys, a lot of transfers on that team this year. You have to wonder how checked in they'll be. And that's the thing too, Jerry. And I want to ask your experience about this. You've covered Virginia teams playing in NITs in years, over the many years past, dating back to the early years of the NIT when it meant more, when there were not 68 teams in a tournament. But the NIT is as much a function of who wants to play as the talent of the teams. And that's why it's probably hard for Vegas to put a number on this too, because who shows up and who wants to win and who wants to go out there and play ball? And the coaches can say all they want, but do the players still want to play basketball? What's your experience covering these in terms of how Virginia teams in the past, dating back to Terry Holland era, have treated the NIT?
Yeah, well, you're right. And I think most of the Virginia teams that have played in the NIT have been pretty hungry in most situations. I know the Ralph and those guys won the NIT when his freshman year when they didn't make the NCAAs. One of Jeff Jones' teams, Bryant Stith, John Crotty, I believe, a really good basketball team, didn't make the NCAA, but you could tell that they were hungry. It was like covering NCAA basketball. What was that, 92?
I was a second-year student at UVA. It was Brian Stith's senior season, his last season at UVA.
Yeah, and Doug Fresh Smith, I think, was a player on that team. And
he was, yeah.
A lot of these teams, and they beat Notre Dame, I think, in overtime in Madison Square Garden to win that championship.
That's right. If
you had been there, anyone there who could have seen the celebration and the expressions on those guys' faces, it was just as important to them at that moment as if it were the Final Four. It was a big deal. And I know that Doug Smith, Fresh, was talking and the other day about, you know, how they kind of use that as a springboard to get back into the NCAA, you know, to and they ended up almost in the Final Four two or three seasons later, I guess his senior year in 95, and were within a hairbreadth of making the Final Four, losing to Arkansas's 40 minutes of hell, and the Virginia team just was exhausted because their guards were tired out, and Corey, I think, was still on crutches at that point, so they just ran out of gas. And, I think the one of Tony's teams with Mike Tobey and some of those guys a few years ago, I think they used it in a similar purpose to make a tournament run as far as they could. And they didn't make it to the NIT Final Four or anything, but they I think they used that for tournament experience and as a springboard to a long run of NCAA tournaments. So I imagine that's what Tony's trying to do with these guys, is get them tournament experience. Some of these guys haven't played in tournaments. With what they've got coming in next season, we could see another 7 year or more run of NCAA tournaments and possibly a Final Four or two down the road.
Tony talked about the lack of experience for this roster in postseason play. You alluded to that, Jerry. And yet 2013, that team played in the third round. If they had beaten Iowa in the third round, they would have gone to the NIT Final Four. So that team did. Yeah. And then 2014, they win the ACC, go to the Sweet 16, and then things happen from there. Yes, as a springboard kind of thing. Jaden Gardner was talking about how he hadn't even had a winning season at ECU. And then Armon Franklin transferred from Indiana. The coach there had gotten fired as he was leaving. Reese Beekman was on last year's Virginia team that played in the NCAA tournament, but because of COVID, they only played one ACC tournament game, won that game, but then didn't get to play the rest of the ACC tournament, and then didn't get to practice until, a walkthrough, basically the day of the game, and then lost to Ohio. So not a lot of experience for him, aside from Kihei Clark, who obviously was a starter on the team in 2019. This isn't a Virginia team. I mean, everybody missed 2020's postseason. So this isn't a Virginia team when you look at the rotation guys that has really any experience in postseason play. And here's a chance for all those guys, most of those guys coming back next year. Yeah. To get that experience. That is an interesting point. And Tony talked about that a lot yesterday.
Yeah. I think it's a huge thing for this team. It's hard to beat experience. And when you get into a tournament, some people say, well, it's just another basketball game. I've never really believed that. You see the excitement on the players' faces and in their speech that they're excited to play in postseason. You don't get that if you've never been there or been there very little. So I think it's a good thing for Virginia. And, I haven't looked past the second round in terms of the brackets, but I would think if they win this game, they should be able to advance to a third round game. They play the winner of North Texas and Texas State, I think. And one of those, I think it's North Texas, is the only other team in the country that plays at the same pace as Virginia. So first of 50 might be first of 30. I don't know. But
there might be icicles on the basketball before it's over. But that's exactly right. That could be an interesting game in some ways. Dean Smith in his four corners offense would love that game. I've seen a lot of chatter, Jerry, on social media. I've even addressed this in a couple of columns actually this week. From fans who say, okay, this is a chance for Tony to give the young guys some minutes. It sounds like, from the transcript of the talk yesterday, Tony was probably asked about that or referenced that in some way. What did Tony have to say about that idea?
Yeah, someone asked him about his philosophy of, for a tournament like this, where, you know, it is the NIT and it might not be a big deal to anyone except the team and some of the fans, diehard fans, but, you know, his philosophy. Do you use this as just to try to get those guys minutes and bring them along, or do you try to take this thing seriously and go all the way? And he said, well, you know, he said, my philosophy is we're in it to win it. And I think that's what everyone would expect from Tony Bennett. And I mean, why bother if you're not going to try to win the whole shebang? And he's going to go with his regulars. He cut his rotation down late in the season. He didn't really have much of a bench. Had those younger guys who look like they have a lot of potential, particularly Murray and Milicic, as potential scorers, shooters. But I imagine what's held them back is a lack of execution in pack line defense, because you don't hit the floor with Tony if you don't play defense. Everybody knows that. So, you know, he left the door open. He said, I'm going to go with my guys, our usual regulars. But there's, you know, if anybody steps up in practice, and there's not going to be a lot of practice between the announcement and the game tomorrow night, but if anybody, you know, any of those guys step up their game, get their defense down, Tony said, you know, there's an opportunity there. And I'm sure he would love to have some of those guys contribute, because Virginia doesn't have a lot of depth, particularly in a tournament situation. But, you know, it's up to the guys. You know, if they want to bust their hump and practice on defense and make shots, no coach can ignore that. If a guy's really making some improvements, and, you know, these guys aren't freshmen anymore. They've been around the whole season. So I think it's difficult this time of year for a guy who hasn't played that much to step into a situation, unless it's a lopsided game, which I would not expect this to be. I just don't see it happening. I think he'll probably go with his regulars for the majority of the game, if not the whole game. And, you know, if he gets in a bind, he might throw a guy in there for a few minutes and see if he can make a difference or give him a spark. But otherwise, I think it's business as usual.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where the fans who are throwing the idea out there, hey, you should give those guys minutes. When I first saw that sentiment online on Sunday night, I thought, okay, I remembered something from either November or December. Turned out it was November after the win over, it was an early season win, Fairleigh Dickinson, I think it was, or maybe it was another early season win, where the first guy off the bench was Malachi Poindexter. And so the question was, Tony, you know, talk about your end of bench guys and who's going to get the minutes. And he said, you know, I challenged those guys, and he referenced Malachi and the three M's, I call them, Tane Murray and Igor Milicic Jr. and Carson McCorkle. He said, I challenged those guys. You know, I don't know how many guys at that point, he didn't know if he's going to go 7, 8, 9 or 10 deep. And he said, but those guys are 7, 8, 9, and 10. And I, you know, basically work hard and we'll see what happens. And the guy who consistently got minutes, Murray had a brief run. He had that, you know, nice stretch where he had a good game against Iowa, played a lot against Pitt in the next game, played a lot the next game against JMU, but then kind of went off the radar. None of the other guys really got consistent rotation minutes or any kind of rotation minutes this season. And Poindexter did. Poindexter got 14 minutes against Duke. He got some key minutes in a Miami, the win at Miami. So clearly what he said was back in November, play hard in practice and we'll see what happens. The guy who played hard in practice was Malachi Poindexter, at least in Tony's eyes, and he got the minutes. So is he going to give minutes to guys just because they're four-star recruits? I would say that would be a disservice to guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, Anthony Gill, all those guys dating back to the early – Mike Scott, all those guys dating back to the early days of Tony's regime here, that they had to work hard and get on the floor. Malcolm Brogdon didn't get minutes given to him. Joe Harris didn't get minutes given to him. Ty Jerome barely played until February of his freshman year. So you got to earn your minutes. And you don't just get minutes. You have to earn them.
Absolutely. And he trusts Poindexter because Poindexter is not a too much of an offensive threat, but he doesn't hurt them. And he plays pretty good defense. And, you know, we've always known that the way to earn minutes with Tony is to bust it on defense. You can't hurt a team if you're playing solid defense. You might give up something offensively for a few minutes, but Poindexter has contributed some in that manner down the stretch. Not a lot, but enough to give him some time out on the floor. So, yeah, I agree. It would be a disservice to all UVA players past if you just look the other way. I remember Dave Lato when he was here and some horrible defensive performances. And he said, well, you know, I just can't make them play defense. Well, excuse me, but you think Tony Bennett would ever make that excuse? I can't get them to buy in. They just don't want to play good defense. And I could see Tony Bennett's reaction to that now, or even Mike Krzyzewski for that matter. But that's no excuse in the current regime, and never will be.
There's a reason Dave Lato is a former Virginia coach and a former DePaul coach, probably. Yes. And that may be among them anyway.
This is Chris Slade, former University of Virginia defensive end, graduate of 1993, back on the staff at UVA. Excited to be back coaching my old stomping grounds. You're listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show.
So what do we look for tomorrow night, do you think? I mean, we've talked about how Virginia teams come out and play in these situations, dating back to the Terry Holland, Jeff Jones era all the way through. We know Tony will have this team playing. They did in 2013 and got just to the doorstep of getting to Madison Square Garden. What do you think? What do you think tomorrow night?
You know, I may be reading it wrong, but I think Virginia's going to come out and play their butts off. And I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I could be mistaken. Like we both pointed out, Mississippi State has not been good on the road. Doesn't mean they can't make a game of it. I don't know what their players' attitudes may be. Knowing that their coach is probably not going to be back. I know what they're expecting. Garrison Brooks apparently told his teammates when he saw Virginia in the draw, he says, it's going to be a football game. I think Virginia's going to come out and be just as physical as they've ever been and go after it hard and try to advance to the second round. You have to wonder if they don't feel a little disrespected because there were 16 teams seeded in this tournament and Virginia wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
So what does that say to a player? you beat Duke, took Duke to the wire the other game. You beat Miami twice. You split with Virginia Tech. And you're not one of the top 16 teams in the NIT field. That's, I would think that would be a motivational factor in itself. But yeah, I think some of these guys are going to be excited to play in the postseason. Particularly Gardner, because like you said, he's never even had a winning season until this year. And, you know, he's really come on. I think he might just eat this tournament up if he gets the chance. And I don't know much about how Mississippi State plays, what their kind of pace of play is. I imagine if they're in the SEC and they're fairly athletic, I imagine they'll try to run, but I can't see them being too successful in that style of play against the back line.
Lots of teams try to run. Very few do, as far as that goes. We've seen it over the years. It's been a long time since I've seen a team actually run on Virginia, and it's probably predating the current long run of NCAA tournaments. So tomorrow night, tip-off at 7 o'clock, and look to jerryratcliffe.com and augustafreepress.com. We've got preview stories already up. We'll have more up, getting you ready for that game. And then, of course, Jerry tweeting, and I'll do a live blog from courtside during the game tomorrow night. We'll have, of course, all the post-game you can imagine. Probably more than you want. It's an IT, but we're still going to do it. This is big deal. This is Virginia basketball, and we're
going for it all the way.
Hey, I'm angling for a trip to Madison Square Garden, Jerry. Any excuse to go to New York for me is a good excuse. So, win three games, and we're going to New York City, baby. So, I'm sure I'll my wife already found out that the Final Four is in Madison Square Garden. And that means New York City, and that means a trip to New York, which she loves, and a chance to go see a Broadway musical or two. So I'm already committed. So if Tony's in it to win it, I'm in it to win it. Let's go out there and win some games, guys.
That's right. Might as well go for it. If you're going to be there, you might as well go for it all the way.
I think that'll wrap us up here for this podcast. We'll talk to you again after this the game. We'll talk to you Thursday or Friday this week. But for Jerry Ratcliffe, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Everyone have a great day.